From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is Mark Haney's show on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we do that by building the Backyard Advantage, the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. And the reason we're doing this is because we have great people in this region. And if we can all get together, show some love toward one another, it makes it a better place to work. And it's actually an advantage to have great connections in your life. I recently met Sally, who I will introduce in a minute. So I have on the show today, Sally Forcier. Is that how you say her last name?
Forcier.
I wasn't sure it was Forcier. Forcier. And Kim Kaplan, her business partner. They are Wild Philly Films. We're going to learn about that. But I think on today's show, we're going to learn a little bit about how two successful women come together to create something new. So we'll definitely learn a little bit about their past lives and what they're working on beyond Wild Philly. But then also, these are filmmakers and creative people. So I want to tap into their brain around how that creativity might apply to some of the stuff that I do around entrepreneurship. And, you know, just how to tell a good story. And, you know, I know you guys are very creative. So I want to understand how to get the creativity out of someone. So with that said, welcome to the show, ladies. Appreciate you both being here. Maybe I'll just start by asking you, Sally, you know, a little bit of your background and what led you to Kim and the launch of Wild Philly Films.
Well, honestly, Kim and I have been really good friends for a couple of decades. I mean, at least three decades.
Yeah.
And we've always talked about working together. God, one of these days we should work together. We would be so great together. Meanwhile, I've always cheered her on. She's cheering me on. And it really became like a no-brainer. I would say probably 10 years ago, we really started talking seriously about it when we were talking about something that this tradition in our family. I'm like, God, we really need to document that. And we are. We're currently, that's one of our projects now. But that's not what launched our company. So I'll let Kim tell you more about that.
Well, first of all, I think we should mention that Sally's casting, she's a casting agent when I met her. Okay. And that's how we met. When I was doing radio, she cast all the models for a Kim Basinger fashion show.
Wow.
Intimate fashion show.
And you were one of those models.
Oh, no. I was the radio personality hosting the actual event. But
you guys probably remember Kim and Marshall in the morning.
Yeah.
That's Kim and Marshall.
We have Kim in the house.
Kim in the house.
All right.
So we actually met by combining our two talents in the first place, which is really ironic,
right.
You know, that it really sustained this amazing friendship. But I've been in broadcasting for years and a podcast producer and host as well. And I'm an audiobook narrator. And I came across this audiobook that I just fell in love with the characters. I thought they were really fun. Reminded me of my mom and her two sisters, the way they, their cadence and the way they, you know, had this little sing-song
banter
back and forth.
Sounds like my wife and her sisters.
Yeah, a lot of family members that we all know. Yeah. And in the business that I'm in terms of audiobook narrating, you never ever talk to the author. You always go through an agent. And after I had finished this book, I found myself really missing these characters. And I thought, you know, I just want to thank her. You know, I kind of looked her up and I sent her a note and I just said, thank you so much for choosing me. I enjoyed that so much, more than any book I've ever done. And she got back to me and said, you nailed these characters. You knew it was like you knew exactly how I felt about them. And I've got a second book I want you to do. And
wow. So
we had this great conversation and I told her, I said, you know, I've always thought that when I was reading this book that it would make such a great movie. And she said, me too, do you know anybody?
Oh, boy.
I went, yeah, hold my beer. And I called Sally and I said, hey, I'm going to send you this book. I want to know what you think about the possibility of it becoming a movie. And she read it and got back to me and went, let's talk. And we ended up buying the rights to the book, and the rest is history.
Oh my gosh. Well, so what book and what movie is it?
So the book is called Huda Thunk It and the Girls, and the movie is called Huda and the Girls, and it's a comedy about three older sisters in their late 60s and 70s who...
And what's funnier than older people, especially women?
Yeah.
They're funny.
Who... find themselves in a pretty harsh predicament with their ancestral ranch that they're going to lose, and decide to go back to the family business of cat burglaring to save it.
Oh boy.
And it's like Thelma and Louise meet Lucy and Ethel. It's funny. Yeah it's okay. Very funny. But it's also really kind of dives into this relationship between three sisters, how different they all really are, but when it really matters, how they were able to just come together and learn more about each other and appreciate some things that they just weren't really taking into consideration mm-hmm. when this all started. So it's a great story.
So the movie's done then?
No.
Okay. So our company, we launched officially Wild Philly Films last November, so it's been a year. We had a big launch party in May, and we started with, you know, developing this book into a script. So we hired the script writer, got our seed money investor, just started just cooking right away. Kim eventually came on and became the co-writer as well. The script is very funny. I mean, I read scripts all the time, and for me to be laughing out loud on the couch by myself is rare. Like reading the script. It was so brilliant. So we're in the development phase of that, because now where we are is we attached an A-lister director from LA who does comedy on TV and film. He's won Emmys for Friends. He's done Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, wow.
Coach, Mad About You, film
Santa
wise,
Claus is Santa Claus 2 and 3, yeah.
Santa Claus 2 and 3, and Tooth Fairy with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and most recently, Queen Bees
yeah.
with Ellen Burstyn, James Caan. So that older generation. So yes. He's brilliant, he's funny. His father was an extremely famous actor, Harvey Limbeck. And so we attached him. We're out to casting right now. We're looking to film and shoot the project next, or probably second quarter.
Wow, that's exciting. Year. Okay, and so within Wild Philly Films, is that the sole project, the sole focus now?
We actually have two.
Okay.
So that first one I mentioned earlier was, it's a documentary following Kim's family tradition of over 52 years of packing out on horses into the wilderness that Kim turned around and started this tradition 39 years ago with women in their from 60 to 81, getting on these horses with about 20 pack mules with all their gear, going up to the immigrant wilderness and living on the land with these horses for 5 or 6 days.
Oh, wow.
And I've been following this story for 10 years. I'm the newbie, I guess, in the group, but I haven't taken the ride and the pack trip with them until this last August. So we have filmed 98% of this documentary, and we are leaning extremely heavily now into the mental health aspect that horses bring to humans.
Oh,
and
crazy
so much
women out there.
Yeah, they are crazy.
I'm sorry if I offended anybody out there.
Hey, that was, you know, my attempt. We all need humor. A little therapy. We all need a little mental health. Help, right?
But it's true.
Some more than others.
It's fascinating. You know, I've been raised around horses my whole life, so it wasn't lost on me the connection between horse and human and how amazing it can be to your mental health. But what's interesting is so many, when Sally and I started this project, we had this idea of what we thought it was going to be, because my family's tradition goes back so far. I mean, from the time I was a kid, they would go out on these trips with my grandparents and friends. And in one case, in 1971, lightning struck the horses my grandparents were on the trail.
Oh, boy.
And those horses dropped dead right with my grandparents
on
them.
Goodness.
And they survived.
Oh.
And
mm-hmm.
and they had to actually ride horses that had never been ridden before out of a lightning storm in the middle of nowhere.
And keep them controlled, right? There's while yeah.
Right.
They're spooked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the amazing part of that is that these horses knew. and they did not balk. They were like, get on, let's get
And we're
through.
Talking oh. trails that are treacherous, okay?
Okay.
We're talking all granite. You're up above the tree lines oh, in some boy. Cases. And you're talking steep drops to 1,000 feet to the reservoir. And the trail's probably no Narrow. Wider than
she's,
this.
If
and
you're listening on audio, she's saying like two feet, a couple feet.
It becomes a trust thing. And I will tell you, you know, my experience doing that ride for the first time, it's an 8-hour ride on a horse. I've ridden all my life, but never that long. And riding treacherous trails like that, you face some serious challenges mentally to overcome the fear that you might fall, get hurt, or anything like that. And there has to be a trust factor with this total strange horse you've never ridden before. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, these horses do these trails all the time, but Kim can speak to the fact that if they know you're nervous, they're going to get nervous and start looking around. So you just have to be calm. And so what does that do? It forces you to just breathe, to be patient, mm-hmm. to just trust. And this wild, like huge 1,200-pound animal, you know. So that's one element of the film.
So I'm imagining, so you have these 60-year-old plus women out in the wilderness. Did you have rain and thunder and lightning?
We had more than that.
Oh, wow.
We had snow.
And snow. Oh, gosh.
And it's never snowed on them before. Yeah, never did on my trip.
And
before.
Then you get to your camp overnight, multiple nights, right?
Yeah. So when we get to our destination, we know where we're going to go, and there's nothing there. We build our camp, we build our kitchen, we build our tents, we build everything. And this is after an 8-hour ride because you've got very little time between landing, you know, at your campsite and dark. Yeah. And you've got to get your.
Black.
So you got to get it together.
So a lot of times therapy happens when we come together as a team and we accomplish something.
Absolutely.
I would have to imagine just sort of surviving that, you know, getting the fire built or whatever.
Absolutely.
However you're going to, you know, wherever you're going
to
set
cooking.
Up. Just put together a tent. I can't even put together a tent. Like I need to get some help.
I've done that my whole life. Yeah. And here I am trying to figure out what is this steak? I don't know.
And you have to feed, you know, because we have packers that pack us in.
Okay.
So they stay because there's no way they can go back the next day. So they stay overnight. So you have to feed them. And so now you're making dinner. And I mean, there's a lot to do in that day. It's really
you must
fascinating.
Like do you all did you know how many people were on the trip?
This year we had 6 women.
So did all 6 already know each other then before the
yes.
trip? Okay,
yeah.
So you are but you really know each other now because
most of us have been like my girlfriend and I who started this was our 39th year that we've been doing this.
Oh.
And before that we took trips, but consecutively we've been doing this for 35 years every single year. And most of the girls, other than the two of us and my mom, who also comes, she's the 82-year-old, they've been on the trip for about 15 years. So we know each other very well. Sally was new.
This was your first year, Sally?
Yes.
Okay, so you're with all these people that know what they're doing, and you're a filmmaker, but now you are in. Okay, panic, frustration.
Yes,
how many F-bombs did you drop?
Quietly or out loud? I was very proud of myself because I only had a small bite in my tongue from biting my tongue the whole ride. But I will say I just trusted these ladies because I knew they had my back. Mm. I knew the horse, I had to trust the horse. But I will say when I got off that horse, I was very happy. Mm. But okay, so we talked about the therapy of just this ride and going out with these ladies and the camaraderie and disconnecting. There's so much of the film with that. But the thing that we migrated into after we sat by these fires, talked to some of these cowboys that are our packers, realizing that horses literally saved their lives and that the lifestyle chose them. And then we came home and we interviewed a few other people and we realized the mental health aspect of it through equine therapy and being around a horse and that healing that comes to the mental health. We actually found a wonderful organization that's allowing us to film a subject that's going through equine therapy. It's a psychotherapy system that's basically, we're all used to the talk therapy mm-hmm. that happens. This is actual working with a horse, hands-on, working through obstacles, overcoming your fears, challenging. So this subject we're following for 7 weeks has literally changed the trajectory of this film. The film was called The Last Ride initially because the tradition's going to end with Kim and her her family. But we are leaning more into this equine therapy at this location called Hart's Landing Ranch, which is amazing. When we went there for a quick 15-minute tour and interview, we ended up staying there for 2 hours in tears, hearing all these amazing stories of people with PTSD, depression, sexual assault, you know, all kinds of major emotional trauma that these people were going through, and they found solace within one or two sessions of equine therapy.
Yeah, so, it's amazing how horses really, they say the horses are, the eyes of a horse are a mirror to your soul, and they really do mirror. There's an interesting story that I'll quickly share about a young man who had trouble in school. He had trouble making friends. He thought being big and bad and bold and loud and aggressive was the way to be powerful and to gain that type of relationship that he thought he wanted. And he gets in the arena with a horse, and a horse that is very calm, quiet, gentle, immediately turned into a very aggressive, you know, horse that was angry. And it
knew his personality, and it didn't care for it at that moment.
That's right. And so what he learned was that perhaps, you know, the therapist said, perhaps if you show a little bit more of a gentle nature and not come at it like, hey, I'm big and bad, I'm going to catch you, I'm going to do whatever I want with you, why don't you see what happens? And he did, and learned that maybe this is why he doesn't have friends. Maybe this is the route that he needs to go in order to develop healthy relationships, not approach them in the way that he had been. Mm-hmm. And she said in all the times that she had worked with them one-on-one in an office, it took one time with a horse to help him actually see what she had been trying to do for weeks.
Wow. So these are two differently, could be more different. These two films sound very not different. One's very touching and sentimental. Different. I joked about it, I guess, at the beginning on the ride, because it's hard to picture a bunch of old ladies growing up.
Hey, yeah,
I can say this because I'm already old.
Hey, so, if I can do it, yeah.
So it's
can
like,
do it.
But I had.
We're badasses.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I would agree. I would not go. I couldn't handle it. But you got the comedy, and then you've got this. Which one? Which one are you enjoying more? Which is more fun?
I mean, I feel, for me personally, I feel the documentary is fulfilling. Mm. My passion, so I started producing 18 years ago, but I started making films about 8 years ago, working with Marcus Allen, Howard Bird, who's been on your show. Mm-hmm. And I have done everything from dramatic to over-the-top stupid comedies to horror movies. Like, I'm kind of all over the place. I had since realized where my heart and passion is to inspire, motivate, and encourage. And especially when it comes to mental health has really affected my family. My daughter witnessed her uncle committing suicide in front of her. Mm. So there's trauma there. And so I feel I'm getting more reward out of the documentary, mm-hmm. but I am having a lot of fun with the film too, because it's fun and it's funny. And, you know, I feel personally that's going to be a nice balance for both of us.
Like, so maybe just in terms of storytelling, if you want a film or story to have that feel good, inspiring sort of touch to it, are there certain things that go into thinking that through in terms of story arc and all that sort of stuff?
I would say, of course, but I think in this case, between the film and the documentary, they both accomplish those things in different ways. The film is very deliberate. You know, you have a script. You know where you want this to go. Yep. The documentary, like I said, Sally and I were like, this is sort of what we why we're doing this, but we have no idea that it's going to write itself, you know, because so much has been revealed. Like she had mentioned, one of the packers who has worked on our trip and gone out on our trip for 15, 16 years. I had no idea his past. I didn't know that he had these mental issues until he revealed it on this trip. And so, you know, and you think, wow, I had no idea that this was going to come out in this trip. I had a whole other idea of what this documentary was going to be about. Mm-hmm. And so I think for Sally and I, we both agreed that we were very open to letting it write itself. Yeah. Because I think that is the most authentic way to capture what matters most, especially when you're dealing with mental illness or, you know, and everybody loves horses, you know, but I don't think they understand how much of a connection horses and humans have. They say if you spend 10 minutes with a horse, your heartbeats will beat in the same rhythm. So they are extraordinary animals. But it's very difficult to have, you know, like I mentioned in the film, people have relationships with dogs. They have connections with cats, pets in that manner. And they're very deep connections. I have two small dogs. They're like my kids, you know. But it's hard to imagine that type of a connection with a 1,000-pound animal, because if you've never experienced it, it's very hard to grasp until you do. And then it just changes your life.
Yeah. Wow. Documentary filmmaking is a very different beast than a scripted film.
So from a business standpoint, it's, I would imagine it's different as well. So you mentioned one of the films, you got an investor. It's one sounds like a more high budget sort of opportunity, and the other sounds like it's less paid actors and those kind of things. So it's maybe a different business model. Could you explain the two business models?
Sure.
Obviously, that you know, and how they might be different. Yeah. And how might they be the same?
So feature film and independent feature film, especially, you're looking at a crew of 60 to 70 people, and okay. then a cast anywhere from 20 to 40 people. Plus, that doesn't count all the extras. I've been casting for 25 years. I had my 25th anniversary last month, October, actually. And casting is a big part of filmmaking when it comes to independent narrative stories. Documentaries, I think we had 5 people on our crew. Yeah. And obviously...
And no actors.
No actors. We interviewed probably, you know, 15, 20 people so far. We got probably another 5 or so to do. But so it's very different in that aspect. So the cost of a documentary may be, $300,000.
Okay.
Versus our feature film may be upwards from $4 to $6 million.
And then in terms of distributing the content afterwards, it's a different market as well. I assume one might go direct to the theater and the other might be distributed, what?
Film festivals. Okay. There are organizations. There are channels, actually, that are, you know, supportive of documentaries. You could do the independent way where there are streaming channels for documentary films that you just basically soliciting people you know. So there's so many different outlets for documentaries. But right now, you know, especially think about, you know, the timing of making a film like this with horses and healing. Mm-hmm. When you think about all the wave of popularity with Yellowstone, you know, 1883, 1923. There's a new one, The Territory, on Netflix. I mean, Westerns,
love those shows.
Horses. Yeah. I do too. They're great. And, you know, you have the scenery. You're going to get all of that in this documentary. That's going to be very different than most documentaries.
All right. So now Taylor Sheridan, we're talking about some of the Yellowstone. Is he the producer of Yellowstone? Mm-hmm. And then I've seen him in one of the Yellowstone shows where he actually acts. Mm-hmm. How common is that for the person putting the whole thing together to
make
jump in? He's a good actor too.
It actually happens probably more than people
really
think.
Yeah.
Oh, I just made a movie that's coming out February 28th with a local Placer County filmmaker, Robert Craig Films, called No Address.
Oh yeah.
And it was one of the head producers where I put together from everything nuts and bolts into the end of having him put on the editing. And it is a impactful, inspirational story about homelessness and the crisis that our country is going through with homelessness. And he wanted to be in the movie too. So So not only did he put himself in once, he did it twice. Because, you know, you can. And it's fun.
Is it less of, that's not a documentary then.
So there's actually two elements of that. Okay. There's a No Address, the narrative story that's based on, it's scripted, and it's based on five members of the same homeless encampment that become their own little family. Okay. And it shows the struggles that people experiencing homelessness have to go through and surviving the streets, quite frankly. I learned so much about this whole process. It was heartbreaking. But then they also, while we were prepping for the film, Robert's heart was so passionate about this that he realized we really do need to make a documentary as well. So Americans with No Address is the documentary.
Is that Robert Lenny?
Robert Lenny.
He was on my show like the first year we started it. I did CrossFit with his wife. That's funny. I wondered if that connection was that. Natasha, yeah. I wondered if that was that connection because
amazing people. Amazing. Yes. Big heart. So, you know, when you have a scripted film, it's a different path for sure, but the documentary has released. It's been in theaters, and now they're getting ready to launch the streaming channel and outlet, so follow them at noaddressmovie.com.
Noaddressmovie.com, yeah. And is there any star? Because casting, mm-hmm. one of the reasons I like Yellowstone is the cast. I mean, it's written great, but yeah. I mean, you bring in Kevin Costner, yep. and then even the 1883, is that the one? One of them had Harrison Ford in it. The other one had...
1923 was Harrison Ford. And then, and then
Tim McGraw was Tim in McGraw, one of them. Yeah.
And his wife.
Faith.
It's like, oh man, you want to watch it just because of them, but then they're really good
They're
actors.
Really good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, incredible. Our cast for No Address, we had amazing cast. Billy Baldwin plays...
Oh yeah, that one. Okay.
Yes, he plays a character that shows how homelessness can happen to anyone. And it is heartbreaking. And I mean, it's an ensemble cast. So you have all these different stories you're following within this film. You have a young girl who comes out of the foster care system, and at 18, the foster parent kicks her out and has nowhere to go, and she has no family. She becomes homeless. And then you have Beverly D'Angelo from the Griswolds, Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
Ashanti, the pop star, she's in there. Xander Berkeley, you guys all will know and recognize him from Air Force One, Walking Dead, 24.
Do they play homeless people?
Yeah.
Because we all have sort of this, we probably stereotype this too much, but we have this, you see the homeless, you're walking through some downtown somewhere, and it looks like people who are crazy and on drugs or mm-hmm. that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Is there a flavor of that running through it? Or is
absolutely.
Because the girl, the foster girl, she sounds, I mean, very... relatable. In Billy Baldwin, I can picture who that is. He's a relatable guy.
So we did try to hit on all, we had seven leads. Patricia Velasquez from The Mummy, she's in there as well. Beverly D'Angelo plays the character that struggles with mental illness, early onset dementia. Then you have two vets that are struggling with PTSD. Mm-hmm. One of them has drug issues. One is a recovering drug addict. And then you have a boy who had to leave home because it was abusive. So you have all these elements, and you know, if anybody's interested in learning what is working around our country, then please do watch the documentary.
Working in terms of helping them,
getting them off the streets, getting them plugged back into the system. It's incredible. You will be shocked by the statistics in this documentary called Americans with No Address. But then you will find, you know, you'll heartbreak it. You'll go through all the emotions. And at the end, you find that hope. And our film does bring you some of those elements as well. Mm-hmm. But then a documentary really hits on what is working. They hit 17 states across the country in 3 weeks. They rode a bus at night and slept and then filmed during the day and back on the bus. And Robert Craig was in there. Our director from the film was on there, other producers. We found through this process, we found amazing individuals who became our executive producers because of their consulting knowledge on the crisis in our country. And that was Dr. Robert Marbot, who connected us to Salvation Army and CityGate because it was our nation's expert when it comes to homelessness. He served with three presidential administrations, being the expert. So we were so blessed to have him on our team and to guide us through this whole process. And so, yeah, Robert, Craig, Lenny is doing amazing things. Yeah, and it was, I'm very proud to be a part of it.
And I just would like to add, I wasn't a part of that project, but I was able to see the documentary. And it changed the way I see homeless people in a significant way. And I think everybody should see this documentary.
I have this, I guess, belief that more things should be privatized and that entrepreneurs solve the world's biggest problems. And if we could bring the private sector in to help figure it out and put them, the right incentives around there, that things are more figure outable. And I'm wondering if the movie sort of uncovers the key things, or the documentary uncovers the key things that
it
need to happen.
It definitely does.
And how do we put a private sector approach to those kind of outcomes, right?
Right.
And the money, you find out the money that they spend on this is absolutely
the money
insane.
To just clean up an encampment. Insane. Is over $200,000.
Oh my gosh.
And if they can just take, if you imagine, I mean, this isn't a political conversation, but if you could just take that money and find a way to make it work and make it more profitable, and that's what you will find by watching this film. You will find inspiration.
I look forward to watching that. Yeah. Because I've been in groups where everybody sat around and talked about how to tackle it, and it's a tough issue.
It's a
really tough issue. Okay, so thinking about creativity. I kind of touched on this at the beginning of the show. You're very creative, but when you're building a company, you have to bring out the creativity in others. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts about that? Like how to bring out people's creativity and maybe in having a team come together to draw out enough imagination to solve these big problems?
Well, I am also an acting coach, and I also consult crew members who want to work in the industry, because I my heart is all about education and giving back to our community. Mm-hmm. For me, it's our film community, trying to inspire other filmmakers and future actors. And creativity lives within all of us. And I'll give away a little free trick and secret here, is if you think about the ego can really step in the way and literally be a block to some very potentially successful choices and decisions you might make in a business, for example, or some of your guests on a show. Mm-hmm. In order to actually be more effective, we have to look at the ego as sometimes a hindrance. Sometimes it's a helpful thing. But really, what does the ego do? It wants to look good and be right.
Okay.
So whether you're an actor, crew member, filmmaker, trying to get somebody solicit creativity out of them, it's about stripping away the ego and allowing this be present moment to happen so that the creativity can then flourish amongst the room. And when we do that, when we can say step aside from being the need to look good or say the right thing, what does Mark want me to say? I'm probably not going to be as authentic and transparent, right?
So would trust the person, other people in the room with the vulnerable side of
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I then think creativity can live. Actually, it breeds creativity like nothing else. You know, and I think that's why Sally and I have partnered so well, because neither one of us have egos that get in the way. You know, we are very accommodating to each other's thoughts and processes. I have learned, I'm not a filmmaker, so to speak, but I've worked in the production world for 30 years. And so this, to be able to break into something new that I've always knew that I wanted to do, you have to set the ego aside. Yeah. Otherwise, you won't learn a thing.
And talk about vulnerability. Not being a filmmaker and at her age taking a career move. And yet still doing, thriving and everything else she does. But that's, I think, where people might call us crazy is that
and tired
is that we don't live in our vocabulary.
No,
it's what if.
Yeah.
And when you have the what if, anything's possible, and creativity can breed. And creativity, I will tell you, I've been an independent entrepreneur, as has Kim, for decades, and working with Kim, I find myself thriving more and evolving, and that creativity is just it's a beautiful thing.
Okay, so go ahead.
Well, and what I was going to say, let's go back to the whole book thing. You know, if I didn't take a leap of faith and just, I mean, who asks an author, hey, you want to make a movie out of your book? Then she's just a small author. You know, her book doesn't even really sell well, but it will. It will sell after this movie. But to be able to say, hey, why not? Why not take that leap? Why not try? If you don't try, you'll never know.
Yeah.
And whether, you know, we've always said this, hey, this whole thing could just blow up in our face tomorrow. But the fact that we were able to take something and create this amazing script, to have the opportunity to write it, to be able to wake up and go, this is what I'm here to do. You know, at the age that I'm at, I'm not going to say how old I am. It just is, I think that's where the heart leads you, especially as an entrepreneur. Is it scary? Yeah. You know, I mean, every business I've ever started was terrifying, you know, but I did it.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
It's courage. Being prepared, meeting opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I do like that saying where, you know, like Oprah says, I don't believe in luck. I believe in preparedness, meeting opportunity. I totally believe in that.
Absolutely.
But she's missing one element, courage.
Yeah.
You got to have courage and step into your power and believe when you have that faith and that knowing that I can do this.
And you can't be afraid to fail either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, okay, a couple more questions. You mentioned that you do other things. Now, Sally, you and I met. You were filming something at my house, a mutual friend. And so I walk in and I ran into other mutual friends too. Some of the people that were helping you with the production or Legion AVS was there. Rachel Hills was there, Hills Construction.
It's like we were destined to meet.
Yeah, I was like, wow, okay. And then we know Cliff Huey too. And yep. Like, he's a good buddy of mine. So it's like, it was kind of cool to, you know, converge and meet you. And I interrupted you. I think I went in the kitchen to get something to eat and you guys were filming this thing. What else do you do? So you have this, obviously, but then you're able to do side projects, yes, if you will, or other projects? Yeah.
So production, big or small.
Okay.
So in between, usually a film, if I'm working on one or two films a year, it's usually 3 to 6 months of my year. And then in between, I actually help other businesses to create video content. Video is king on social media. Mm-hmm. Creating video content, big and small, again, to help promote their company and their business. And then I also obviously do casting. So mm-hmm. casting for commercials, TV and film, voiceovers.
By the way, sorry to interrupt mm-hmm. you. You don't do casting for like somebody who wanted to do... I need a comedian for an upcoming event.
Absolutely.
Focused on entrepreneurship. So just I'll plant that seed real quick before I forget. So,
wheels are spinning already.
Yeah. I'm sure she knows four
people. Gosh, at least.
Yeah.
You know Mikey Winfield, right? He's amazing.
Okay.
We'll bring that guy in. He's awesome. And then I, of course, now through my company, I have a plethora. I mean, I probably reach over 3,000 actors in the Northern California market. So I also provide coaching services. So whether somebody wants to get into acting, doesn't know where to start, we start with a consult. If you want to get into acting, need some coaching, how to be on camera, how to do auditions on Zoom. You know, I pretty much coach that. I also coach athletes and celebrities, a local level. So for example, Bobby Jackson was my client for a couple years when he was on camera and he was commentating for the games and needed to, you know, nothing like an athlete who believes in coaching because they know you have to have a coach. So I'm kind of all over the board, but really the three hubs are producing, coaching, and casting.
Okay. And what about you, Kim? You do? So I know you love horses. You like to get out in the wilderness. And you read audiobooks.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, when I came to the Sacramento market, I was an on-air personality. So I did morning radio for 15 years in the Sacramento
what
market.
What station was that on again?
The Zone.
The Zone, okay.
100.5 The Zone back in the
Kim and Marshall in the morning.
When The Zone was, you know, queen of Sacramento. And other stations, you know, throughout my career. But I also... also was one of these people that knows that radio is not always going to last. And I kind of went into it. It happened by accident, by the way. And I kind of went into it knowing that I could never have a job the next day. Like, this could be your last day on the radio. Mm. So I started my production company, which is Kim Kaplan Productions, which I still run. And I do voiceover, voice coaching, audiobooks, podcast production, and hosting. And I also work as a production, creative production designer for iHeartRadio. Okay. So I voice anywhere up to 15 to 20 commercials a day and produce.
Do you really?
Yeah, for the National Hub.
So you can hear her in New York. You can hear her in
Idaho. Me all over.
You sound so familiar.
I get that all the time.
I have literally been out say going, that's Kim.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Well, it's
she's amazing.
So how would you describe Sacramento's, I was going to say creative economy, but our film economy, the world you're living in, how strong are we? What else do we need to do to strengthen to make us more known as a place to make a movie or do a creative project?
Love that question. I have been super passionate about building our film community for over two decades. I feel that, you know, I've never lived in LA for a reason. I was a single mom for many years and I wanted to raise my daughter here, as do a lot of people. And so in this day and age, you can live here and work all over the states. But what's special about our film community is we have amazing locations. We actually have a lot of great crew that are, they can compete with the best of them. Mm. But again, they're choosing to raise their families here. And so there are organizations here locally, one that I just love to pieces called Capital Film Arts Alliance, the CFAA, that supports and encourages our film community, whether actors, writers, filmmakers come together and they do, you know, support and different, you know, topics and classes and things like that. So I would say right now, looking back on the last 10 to 15 years, we are more sustainable to work. I can literally hire 80% of my crew from here.
Okay.
Which I do. When I'm producing, one of the jobs I have is hiring everybody from location manager, line producer, working on the budget, scheduling, but hiring all my crew. And especially the department heads. And I always start with who I fully believe can handle the job here and be and shine, because it's always what's best for the project. But knowing that we have great actors who, again, choose to stay here and work locally and great crew, it's a much more viable option. We are super excited to see what the governor is going to do for these tax incentives for our state, because we definitely need it. Most people are leaving California, not just here, LA, they're leaving in droves because the work is thriving in other states.
Okay.
Because we didn't have a great tax incentive. So, you know, yeah. Fingers crossed.
That so if you want to break, let's say somebody wanted to break in, maybe they, you know, they think they have something that could help. Maybe it's on the technical side, maybe it's on organizational side, but maybe they want to be on the front of the camera or something like that, or on the, you know, voice or what have you. Is there a place, is this CFAA the place to go to develop your skills?
It's a great
place.
To
get noticed?
Yes. It's a great place for support.
Okay.
To network. And then if they need to figure out, is this a good fit? Where do I start? They can look me up at 4cacasting.com and, okay. And just reach out and we'll set up a consult and I'll tell you what I think you can do and where to plug in. But CFAA is one of many.
Okay.
Yep.
You have anything to add to that?
No, I have. I think she's right. It's an amazing group. And as somebody who's new into the filmmaking world, it is just the most accommodating. They just bring you in with open arms. They don't make you, you know, it's intimidating, you know, this business. And I've never felt uncomfortable. It's just they treat you like you've been around for years.
That's
you know,
cool.
It's really, really inclusive. I love it.
I love that. Okay, so last question. I kind of want to give you a chance to have some closing thoughts, but what did I not ask you that, like, we got to get the word out, or you have a strong message in a certain area. I want to make sure we give you a chance to stand and deliver.
I love that. The last question is, what did I not ask
you? What did I not ask you?
I love it. Mark, you're so generous as a host. I appreciate it. And I honestly feel like, you know, filmmaking is so, if you're anywhere in the Valley, whether it's Placer County, El Dorado County, Sacramento County, you know, tap into your film commissioners. If you want to get in the industry, crew members can get on filmsac.com, which is Jennifer West is our Sacramento Film Commissioner. They're great. They're supportive. They're approachable. And, you know, the best way to start is to start. Mm-hmm. Get on set. You know, reach out to me. Get on my list to be a PA, just a production assistant. That's the best way to learn. I mean, when I got started, the very first time I was on set, I was a stand-in.
Wow.
On a Patrick Swayze film.
So, which one?
Yeah, it was called Letters from a Killer. It was just this little, back then it was called made for TV movies.
Oh, okay.
Those don't exist anymore because they're made for any streaming now. But you know, just getting on set, you know, that's when you really learn if this is for you or not, because it's hard work. It's long hours. It's, you know, everybody has different skill sets. And at the end of the day, whether you want to be in front of the camera or behind the camera, the win is you're going to meet some crazy awesome people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you guys like us, you're going to love this film business. We're all pretty fun and have a good time. And, you know, because, you know, you brought up the creative, I do want to add, if you have a calling for creativity, don't know where it is, literally you can find some place in the film industry. There's something for every, whether if you're more artistic and you want to be in the art department and it's setting up a scenery or a scene or a room like
or
this.
Or a writer.
Mm-hmm. Like Kim is just, I remember she wanted to be a writer 10 years ago and now she's like thriving as a script writer, a screenplay writer. So there's something for everyone and it's a great way to explore.
Ah, I love, you know, it. Yeah, and grow. Yeah. Kim, what did I not ask you?
Nothing. I think okay. I'm good. I mean, unless you want to.
What's your sign?
My horse's name is Gordy. He's an amazing horse, and I love him so much.
So thinking, I did have one question I didn't ask you earlier. So you do the trip every year. Is it like one big trip per year? And then do you, and it sounds like the same people. I know a few people. I have friends of mine, women, that they're into horses. Mm-hmm. And if they're listening, they're probably not. Well, I'll show them this clip, but I'm curious. If someone wanted to get into something like that, sounds like a very unique opportunity. Whether it be with you or another hiking trip like that, where you take the horses out in the wilderness and you know.
Oh, I gotcha. I know exactly how to do it. So my family has been going to the same place since I grew up at this place. It's called Kennedy Meadows Pack Station and Resort.
Okay.
And it's right up off of 108, like right before Sonora Pass. So above Sonora, mm-hmm. if you know Twain Hart area, yeah. that area. And Matt Bloom and his family have this amazing, idyllic, just place that looks like it's been there. It hasn't changed, you know, since the 1940s or 50s. And he does these pack trips.
Okay.
And you can actually talk to him. You can go on their website, Kennedy Meadows Resort, I think, .com. Or mm-hmm. look it up. There's one in LA. You want the one that's based out of Twain Hart or Sonora. And they do all kinds of different trips. You can do weekend trips for the family. And it is one of the, I think the one thing that we did leave out with these pack trips is the power of disconnecting. The power of disconnecting from your phone, from the internet, from your work, from the kids' soccer games every week. Kids need to get grounded in nature. They need to be able to enjoy what this beautiful country has to offer us. You get back there in that backcountry, and Sally will attest to this because it was the first time, and it's jaw-dropping because you can't get back there unless you hike or walk, or if you're, you know, wealthy enough to have a helicopter that can drop you off in a meadow, maybe. But I don't even think they allow you to do that. And it's just an extraordinary experience.
And if you have virtually no experience with a horse, you can still do it?
I believe you can. Right. I mean, I think, you probably wouldn't want to do the trip that we do. But you could certainly...
Do they have any rides? You can do clamping or anything?
listen, we have blow-up mattresses and lights and foam and, and we cook gourmet food and we pack in a full bar. That's why we have 18 mules,
but and they have cabins. That's why it's a resort. They have cabins.
Okay,
and they,
so you not could where glamp. We pack out, but where you start.
So you can go get a cabin, then get on a horse for an hour and a half, and come back.
Yeah,
and eat there.
And
at
you
the
can do a weekend trip to Kennedy Lake, which is only an hour and a half ride. And they have drop trips. They can even provide your cook. They can do everything. It's really an amazing experience.
Special place.
And I highly recommend any family or any group to try it once.
I can see it being a corporate team building opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm kind of jumping off the subject here. I thought that was really interesting and maybe not the perfect way to close out the show, but I guess the perfect way is for me to say thank you for joining us,
for teaching us,
and sharing your story and inspiring people to sort of start. I love that message. Just if you have like a curiosity, take a step.
Yeah.
I love that.
You'll never know. It changed the trajectory of my life by being a stand-in. So I do challenge anybody who's just curious, just check it out. Might be a game changer.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at Haney Biz, at Mark Haney Show and The Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.